Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Out and About with, gotta watch my levels here. I'm out and about with Elaine LaRoche, but I am not Elaine, and my hair is not blonde. And we're gonna have a good time. Elaine is out on assignment. She is, she'll be back very soon, we just want to let you know we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a lot of fun in this hour. It's going to be action-packed. We got to tell you about the Cubs. Wow, what about the Cubs? And also, just to let you know, to set the clocks back 1 hour tonight to make sure you get some extra rest. We'll tell you about that. Jim Corbin's going to come on and tell us a little bit about weather. We got sports scores and some out and about things to tell you about, but we also have a special guest in studio. Your friend and mine, Richard Lunt. And you know, the reason why I asked you asked Richard to come on with me is that, you know, it's funny, we work really well together on radio. We've worked together well on election night coverage back in, I don't know, 1896. You know, I was thinking about that election.
I'm old.
No, we're both old. I was thinking about that election, Rich, that you did. Remember election night coverage back when Mike Marola owned the station? Who was running? I know it was another Clinton. It was, you know, obviously
Bill Clinton.
Second term or first term?
Let's see now. That was his second term.
Yes.
Yeah, he's running against Bob Dole.
Oh, yes, Bob Dole.
And then locally, Peter Blute was running against Jim McGovern, and Jim McGovern beat out Peter Blute. Peter Blute was the incumbent.
Well, you know, that was, you know, I was looking for some tapes. So I was going to play some, you know, the historical openers, you know, that we made and all that. It was a lot of fun. We had stringers everywhere. You know, remember? We had people calling in from all over the place. But anyway, we're not gonna focus on election night coverage of 1996, where, you know, we're going to, you know, we got a lot to go over. Just to give you a preview of the weather, we're gonna have a sunny day today. Jim Corbin's gonna tell us a little bit more about that. Highs will be around 50 degrees or so. You know, what do you think, Rich? You think this is official Indian summer or what?
I think Indian summer is more, let's say if it's like in the 60s or 70s or 80s, that's Indian summer. This is just about typical fall weather. This is great fall weather, like in the 50s. It's perfect. You can't beat fall in New England.
No, we can't. As a matter of fact, you know, it's funny, the last few years we've been blessed to have this type of weather. As I remember back in the 90s, it would be snowing in like late October, early November. And we've had a couple of years like that. I mean, probably ask Jim when he calls in about that. You know, do you remember that one storm that was like?
Yeah, there was one storm that I remember, and I was driving into the studio, and it was like, I think it was like January of 96, and it was like 4 inches of snow already on the ground, and I was driving from Mansfield to the studio in Attleboro, and boy, I mean, I had to white knuckle it on the roadways.
Yes, yep. Yeah. You know, it's funny. You have a question to ask folks in a little bit.
Yeah.
And before we do, though, we want to get to some sports scores.
Oh yeah, big night in high school football.
Yeah, let's check that out. And go ahead, Rich, tell us what happened last night in high school football.
Okay, high school football. We had Attleboro over Brookline by a score of 35-7 over Brookline. It was King Philip over Mansfield by a score of 14-7. Norton over Dennis Yarmouth beat Norton 24-7. And we have Holliston over Dighton Rehoboth 41-8. Durfee over Bishop Feehan 26-14. Foxborough, the Foxborough High School Warriors, that was my alma mater, Foxborough High School, 47-3 over Nauset. Seekonk over Nantucket 19-13. North Attleboro 37 and Dartmouth 27. And today's games at 5 p.m. Tri-County versus Holbrook, and then Avon at Brockton. So those are your scores and highlights and things of that nature in high school football. You know, speaking of sports, I was really impressed with those Cubbies.
You know, it's funny, Rich. We're in Red Sox Nation. We live in Red Sox Nation, and most of us are Red Sox fans. And you know, with the exception of a few, I know there's pockets of some friends who are Yankees fans. And I've always wondered if there are any Cubs fans that live here in New England. And another thing I also wanted to mention is that, you know, we really need to be happy for our Cubs fans. You know why? Yeah. Because we know what that was like to go through a pretty long drought. I know my grandfather, God rest his soul, was a diehard Red Sox fan. And he was actually at the World Series when they played in 1917. He was about 17 or 18 years old, and him and my Uncle Frankie would go there every year to see the Red Sox play. And sadly, I remember when I was a kid that one year they went to the one where Bill Buckner dropped the ball? Was that a World Series game?
That was 30 years ago, 86.
And I was about probably 16 years old at that time. And I remember it was the first and only time I ever heard my grandfather get angry and swear at the television.
I think everybody in New England did that on that World Series.
I also remember, it's funny, I also remember when I was a kid that, I shouldn't say a kid, but years later after my grandfather had passed, the night that the Red Sox made it to the World Series and actually won.
2004.
And yeah. I was outside that night after watching it on TV. I went outside. I left my then girlfriend's house and I could hear nothing, but it was surreal. You could not even hear a bird or a cricket make a noise. It was just like it was so surreal. It was unreal. But you know, are you the type of fan, you know, the real diehard sports fan, would you watch a game regardless of who's playing? Or you're the type of fan that, let's say, okay, you're the Red Sox fan. Well, you know what? I'm not going to watch the World Series. I'm going to just simply, you know, they're not, my team's not playing, so why bother? I mean, are you that type of fan?
No, not at all. I enjoyed the World Series this year. Okay. It was a great contest, going all the way seven games, and that's what you want in a World Series, to go all seven games and to come down to the very last game, the very last play. I mean, that's what it's all about. And as Yogi Berra used to say, it ain't over till it's over, and that was true. That was so true.
It ain't over
till
it's over.
And went into extra innings, too.
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, some people on the bus didn't make it to the bus and went to work late the next day. That was kind of funny. I think that game went into early morning.
Yeah, because it was a rain delay.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, because they were playing in Cleveland, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was
and you look at all the players involved. I mean, Theo Epstein, who was the director of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs, we had him here in Boston with the Red Sox for two of those years.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't we get people like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, and he was part of the reason why the Cubs won the World Series. And John Lester, another former Red Sox player, and couple of other players on the Cubs that used to be Red Sox players, and then on the for the Cleveland Indians, of course, Terry Francona was the manager.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? If folks want to join in on the conversation at any part or portion of this program, we are an open, what do you call it, open door?
Open door policy?
Yeah, or open phone policy.
Open phone
you
policy.
You can call.
What's the phone number?
508-222, as Paul Healy would say, 222-1320, 508-222-1320. Give us a call. Tell us what you think about the Cubs. You know, I'm happy for them, you know. I'm very happy for them. It's funny because, you know, I know what it's like. We said, I know what it's like. My grandfather waited his whole life to see his, you know, the Red Sox get there, but he never lived to see them. Make it. I like to believe that he saw them, you know, from up above.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, so I think their drought, the Cubs' drought, was even longer than the Red Sox drought.
I believe so.
You know, they haven't won a World Series game, what, since 1908?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, that is a long time. Yeah.
That's a very long time.
I remember when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, and that was thrilling for me because I enjoy football as well.
Mm. You know, by the way, the Celtics actually won. They're staying unbeaten, 100 or 128 over 122. Actually, I should say the Cavaliers. Excuse me, I'm reading it. I'm flip-flopping the headline here. It's actually the Cavaliers. They stay unbeaten, 128 to 122 win over the Celtics. The Celtics got to really push up their game a little. So that's if you're a Celtics fan, and I'm sure we have a lot of Celtics fans out there. Amen.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and the Bruins too. They got to get their act together too. But it's still early in the season.
Still early. Yep. It's still early. Lots of hope.
And the Patriots have a bye week this week, so you know everybody gets they'll be the players will be off and doing their own thing until they report on Monday for workouts again. So.
You know what, Rich? We're coming up on a break, and what we'll do is we'll take a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to just also look at some things that are taking place out and about. Do you have a yard sale? Are there any yard sales left? Any farmers markets, which we know our farmers market here in Attleboro is pretty much closed for the season, right?
Last week was the final week.
I kept saying all year long I was going to go, and I never got to one. You know, one of their Saturdays. I have gone a few times last year with my wife, and it was a wonderful time, and I look forward to making sure I make some time next summer to get there because it really is got to be one of the best farmers markets that I've seen around.
Yeah.
And I've gone to quite a few, especially near my home in Rhode Island. We're going to take a break right now, and then if you want to join in on the conversation, 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320 here on 1320 WARA. It's Out and About with Elaine LaRoche, Mike and Rich filling in. We'll be right back.
Bristol Community College will host the Veterans Expo on Saturday, November 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at their Fall River campus. The event will feature veteran organizations such as the Veterans Healthcare Administration and the Veterans Benefit Administration. Veterans nonprofit organizations, representatives from BCC's admissions office, and several colleges and universities will also be present. The Veterans Expo is free and open to all veterans and service members in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. For more information, call BCC Veteran Educational Services at 774-357-2227.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
608 to 90-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Historian Gary Highlander will present Hail to the Chief on November 17th at 10:30 a.m. at the Norton Public Library. Dr. Highlander will take us back to the Constitutional Convention of 1787, where the Office of the President and the Electoral College were created. As Connecticut Governor Samuel Huntington stated at the time, it was a new event in human history. Gary Highlander is a scholar and professor who has taught at Stonehill College and Framingham State University and lectured for many cultural and educational forums. For more information on the event, call the library at 508-285-0265.
And you're listening to Out and About here on 1320 WARA. We're here each and every Saturday morning between 7 and 8 o'clock. And usually hosting this show is Elaine LaRoche. And today we're filling in the gap for Elaine. Elaine's on assignment. She's out and about. And she'll probably tell us all the good, cool things that she has done in her time that she was away. Hey, you know, Rich, this weekend we got a dance festival taking place. Seven choreographers will present works from 7 to 12 minutes long at FusionWorks Dance Company's Northeast Choreographers Festival performance at 8 p.m. Saturday over at Bishop McVinney Auditorium. That's located at 43 Dave Gavitt Way, right in Providence. And I believe that if you're interested in going to check this out, if you're a dance connoisseur, so to speak, or into dancing, you can call them at 401-334-3091. Can you believe this, Rich? Already, Christmas. It's a Christmas carol. The Trinity Rep is already starting. Be among the first folks this season to see Trinity Rep's annual production of A Christmas Carol, the Charles Dickens classic about a misery Ebenezer Scrooge. Begins performances this week, which shows at 7:30 on Saturday, that's today, at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And this runs all the way through December 31st. And more information on that, you can call them at 401-351-4242. Native American Arts and Crafts Fair is taking place also. Native American Arts and Crafts Market, I should say, takes place 10 a.m. to 5 Saturday, which is today, at the Mansion, I hope I say this right, Mansion Tucket Pequot Museum and Research Center, in conjunction with the annual powwow honoring veterans. That they're located at 110 Pequot Trail in Mashantucket, Connecticut. That's pretty far from here, actually. And the phone number for them, if you want to try to check that out or get some information, they're at 800-411-9671. And the last thing I have here in my list so far is there is a bazaar taking place this upcoming Sunday. The first GI Bazaar will feature a juried selection of handmade goods from up to 50 artisans and crafters while showcasing the work of local military veterans and their spouses. Taking place tomorrow from 11 to 5 at the Hope Artistic Village, that's located at 1005 Main Street in Pawtucket, number 1201. So, and if you want to get more information, you can go to GI Bazaar. That's GIBAZAAR, and then RI.com. And they got a lot of cool information on there on that. What do you have going on? I heard you telling me something about a fair or a bazaar taking place at locally here in Attleboro. Is that right, Rich?
Yeah, we have a Second Congregational Church in Attleboro. They're having their church fair today from 9 a.m. to 2. And, Thanksgiving in the kitchen and Christmas in the parlor. You know, they have for breakfast. They have like cinnamon buns and coffee. And
so they're open
juice.
Now.
Yeah, from 9 a.m. to 2.
All right.
Yeah, and then
you go there for breakfast
or for lunch. They have good sandwiches, and then you have pies, apple pies. They have chocolate chip cookie pie. I had a chocolate chip cookie pie.
I've never like heard of that.
Like a chocolate chip pie, whatever. Yeah, and it's really, really good.
Wow.
They have chocolate chip cookies. They have, and then you go into the parlor where they have all the the crafts, arts and crafts, for the, you know, Christmas stuff, you know, books and tapes and all sorts of goodies that you can probably walk away with and have, you know, make out pretty good if you're doing early Christmas shopping.
Wow. Yeah, I love, you know, it's funny, two favorite holidays. Actually, I love Thanksgiving because it involves tons of eating.
Oh, I agree with you there.
And then there's what, Christmas, and it's just bringing everyone together and, you know, gift sharing and all that.
And then we have another church.
Yeah.
Evangelical Covenant Church, that's located at 841 North Main Street here in Attleboro. They're having their fall fair as well. They have Swedish imports, specialty baked goods, knitting, crafts, theme gift baskets, jewelry, Christmas and holiday gifts, and much, much more.
Jewelry.
Breakfast, they're going to serve a Swedish pancake breakfast. And for lunch, they're going to have a smorgasbord plate, a meatball sub, and all sorts of goodies. So a couple of church fairs to attend if you're out and about today. So please stop by if any one of them. Evangelical Covenant Church or Second Congregational Church or both.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that Swedish pancake breakfast, boy, that sounds good.
Yeah.
In fact, they have a website too, which you could check them out at attleborocovenant.org, and I'm sure they got a lot of information on there. And it doesn't really cost that much to get in and get a fairly decent pancake breakfast. Then we got some other things going on too, Rich. I don't know if you've seen that the fall beer dinner over in Bonstable Restaurant and Tavern is taking place. You can call them for information. That's happening from 6:30 to 9:30. We call them at 508-362-2355. And this for those folks that are into beer, I guess the Great International Beer Festival Convention Center in Providence is taking place 1 to 4:30 this afternoon and 6:30 to 10 p.m. And you can go to www.beerfestamerica.com to learn more. And then there's a cooking class taking place over at Al Forno's in Providence from noon to 3. I think I need to learn how to cook, maybe, huh?
Oh.
401-273-9767. That's a good out and about type thing, you know. Learn how to cook and impress your wife, your girlfriend. If there's guys listening out there, girls like when guys cook, right?
Oh,
do you
do.
Cook, Rich?
I do cook, actually. Yeah, I cook every night after I come home from work. I cook, I heat something up in the microwave, or I just do it from scratch.
All right. So, guys, boiling water does not count. Making toast doesn't count.
Making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches doesn't count either.
Okay.
But yeah, I do cook, yeah.
Oh, here's something that I think I would like. Bristol Burger Bash is taking place tomorrow in Bristol at 1 to 4 at the Linden Place Mansion. And you can actually go online to check that out. It's www.lindenplace.org or call them at 401-253-0390. And let's see, I'm looking at anything else going on. Well, there's another cooking class going on, Rich, on Monday, Thanksgiving Day, or Thanksgiving cooking class at Simone's Restaurant. I didn't know these restaurants, they do these cooking classes. This is pretty cool. And that one's in Warren at 6:30 in the evening. And you can go to www.simonesri.com. I wonder if they let you eat the actual stuff you cooked afterwards, or would you want to eat the stuff you made afterwards?
Oh.
You ever made something, or you tried to make something, and it just didn't turn out the way you hoped it would?
Maybe when I was younger, yeah.
Like the first time I cooked rice-a-roni, and it turned into this, like, hard whatever, and we ended up making a picture frame out of it.
it's all about timing and cooking. So if you don't have the right time, if you overcook, you definitely know you need to do a better job of cooking.
definitely. So, wow. So that's what so far for you going on this weekend. Do you know of any yard sales going on in the community? We'd love to hear from you this morning as well. Because, you know, there's always one I happen to see whenever I'm driving out of Attleboro on Saturday mornings. And it seems like it's there every weekend. I don't know if it's going to be there this weekend. But If you happen to know of a yard sale, you're listening, and you're just getting up with grabbing your second cup of coffee, you can call in at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320. We're going to have Jim Corbin calling us very shortly to tell us what's going on with the weather and what to expect in the upcoming days. Is there, you know, is there that snow word on the horizon, or as Tom Rafferty would say, jello? remember when he was saying that when we were getting socked with snow every 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
He got tired of hearing snow, so he just changed the name and called it Jell-O. Which I believe, by the way, I like Jell-O, so, you know, Jell-O's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to also talk about the time switch because, you know, tonight is the night, folks. I don't know if you just woke out of bed. You know, make sure that you switch your clocks back. You know, where's that come from? Where's all that come from? Where'd the idea come from? Who was the original person that originated that and why? You know, we'll share some insight on that coming up real soon. Well, you know what? We're going to take another quick break. And on the flip side of things, Rich has got a question to ask some folks. And we'll hear from Jim Corbin, of course, coming up real soon. You're listening to Out and About here on 1320 WARA. And we'll be back after these important messages.
What better way to kick off the Thanksgiving holiday than with a flat, fast 5K? The Attleboro YMCA's Gobble Wobble 5K takes place on Thanksgiving morning at their Pleasant Street branch. The 5K starts at 8 a.m. with race day registration beginning at 7. The course is a fast, flat course through the Attleboro corporate campus. Runners can participate individually or as a team. Child Watch is available for the children of runners. Register online at attleboroymca.org.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
trail. When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be...
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 I
want to
be...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
From now until November 11th, the Beard and Wheel Galleries at Wheaton College in Norton will exhibit Judy Pfaff, Drawings Thick and Thin. The exhibition showcases a continuum of media and techniques, ranging from prints to small three-dimensional works. Large paper tapestries will provide a backdrop for the interaction of new and old works, creating new perspectives on time and space. The gallery is open from 12:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday. For more information about the exhibit, visit wheatoncollege.edu/gallery.
Yes, we're out and about here today on 1320 WARA. Mike here with Richard Lunt, the legendary election coverage news guru.
Yeah.
How are you, Rich?
I'm doing great.
Having fun.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's been burning on my mind. I want to take a brief poll. So
poll?
I want to take a pulse of Attleboro. Since the election is coming up, are you better off than you were 8 years ago? And please call in 508 508-222-1320. 508-222-1320.
Are you better
just
off?
Just a generic. Are you better off than you were 8 years ago?
You know, it's funny. I don't think so. At least I don't feel so. You know, maybe there are some things. There were some positive things that have happened, but. You know, we had the recession. There was a lot of things that took place over the, you know, the last 8 years that probably changed things. I don't know, for the best or for the worst, but it's kind of like I don't feel myself personally. I don't feel that it's for the better.
I agree. I mean, I don't think it's for the better. I think a lot of people have lost their retirement savings over the years because of that. You know, the recession, and some people still believe that we are in a recession because of the tight job labor, you know, the labor market. You know, that there's a lot of concerns there. You know, people are.
You know, it's funny. I've been listening.
It's very competitive for jobs out there too.
I've been listening and watching the news, and I've never seen an election more polarized and more. There's so much division and I don't know. Then this election, it's been really I guess it kind of almost creates anxiety inside you just watching this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and after a while, you just have to kind of just say, look, I'm not going to watch this tonight. I'm not going to, you know. But this election is very important that we definitely need to study the issues locally, regionally, nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely need to know when we go in that we're not just simply picking people or votes, voting for people out of a popularity type thing. We're voting for people that we think would be the best candidate that would do the job, as opposed to the candidate that, well, you know, based on their, because really we don't have that this time. You know, we don't have that. The morale ground as far as the national level goes, because both sides have issues.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? You know, this election is going to be very unprecedented as far as you know, numbers, and that's why the early voting. They decided to have the early voting is because of they're anticipating great numbers. But yeah, it's really going to. Be a historic election in many ways, and you know, and I'm going to be watching the results and how it plays out. There's key battleground states, and it's very close in a lot of states, especially in New Hampshire and in Florida and a lot of the battleground states, Pennsylvania. It's going to be interesting to see where those states, who those states go for, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, you know, and it's really going to be very, very exciting to watch, too, because of the historical nature of this election, too.
If you ask me, I don't think it's going to be over on November 8th.
That could
I have
be right.
a funny if, feeling if it's not going to be over by...
If Donald Trump wins...
Either
will or. Will there be riots? And vice versa. If
Let's
Hillary
hope not.
Clinton wins, will there be riots?
Let's hope not.
I hope
you know,
not either.
We have to. We have to really, really, you know, like I said, study the candidates. You know, go in there well informed, and really figure out who you're voting for and the best person. We have you know, the reason why I'm kind of just I was a little distracted here. I'm trying to get this phone call in. So, Rich, while I'm doing that, you just keep us busy.
Okay. What else is going on here? Yeah, it's I like that idea of you know of my plan about the election is you know I'm just going to go ahead and vote.
Go ahead and vote
and see and watch the results come in because this year I decided not to hold a sign for any of the candidates because you know because of the volatile nature of the candidates.
Well, let's take a break from this for a sec, and we're going to check in with what's going on in the world of weather and hear from our friend Jim Corbin. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Mike, and good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Jim.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. you were talking, I'll get right to the forecast, you were talking about is this Indian summer. Well, we had, you might remember about 2 weeks ago, we had a couple of days where it got close to 80 degrees, and that was a few days after we had had our first frost, and that's typically what Indian summer weather is. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when it came up, jokingly, it's almost the same thing, think about it, in the spring when we have our first really warm temperatures, and then we get a cold spell, usually sometime in April, and sometimes it snows, and I jokingly call it cowboy winter. So you can go the other way, Indian summer. Again, I know politically incorrect to say it probably.
Cowboy winter.
Cowboy winter is when you get that snow after you've already had a tease of spring temperature. So there's the opposite. There's the opposite of it. And again, I'm making light of it, but over the years I've brought that up on occasion. But anyway, we're not talking about Indian summer today. It's going to be actually just about where we should be for the fifth day of November. Temperatures right around 50 degrees or so, as you had mentioned right at the top of the show. Winds will be out of the north. We'll have some cloudiness from time to time. It's not going to be completely clear all day, but it should stay essentially dry. There was, believe it or not, a snow flurry up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire last hour, but that's about it. A very weak system moving across southern Maine right now. Then tonight we're going to have mostly clear skies, few scattered clouds falling down into the upper 30s, so not quite as chilly as this morning, but it'll still be cool enough. And then tomorrow, a little more in the way of clouds. I'll call it a mixture of clouds and sun, highs in the upper 40s. And then as we start the week on Monday, it looks like mostly sunny skies. Temperatures near 50 again for high temperatures Monday. And it still appears to me that Election Day is going to be great, not only here, great for this time of the year, but almost the entire country is going to be storm-free. Maybe parts of the South, perhaps Louisiana, Mississippi, getting some rain. But overall, the weather, as I've been saying for the last week or so, and others have as well, this situation is, you can't blame the weather, it looks like, Tuesday coming up for not voting if you haven't already. Of course, that's another issue, which I think we talked about last week with the early voting. I'm definitely against it. For decades, we had absentee voting, and somehow we were able to get through that, you know, if you were in the military or whatever. But this early voting, and sure enough, what came up, whatever side you're on, sure enough, the issues with Hillary Clinton, some people now are saying, gee, maybe I shouldn't have voted for her. I should have waited. I think we should play out the entire season.
Yep.
Right up through whatever the voting day is, your first few days of November. This year, obviously, it's the 8th. Whoever came up with this because they're afraid it's going to take too long should have it on weekends, for one thing. Should have 2 days of voting, or at the very least have it as a holiday so that everyone can vote. But this foolishness of, well, it's going to be too crowded at the voting booth, so let's have it several days off and on 2 weeks prior. And sure enough, we find out that certain things about people that maybe we didn't know when we voted, and now some people are saying they wish they could take their vote back.
You know, it's funny. I don't. You're right, Jim. I don't know why they don't do that. Like, make 2 days of it on the weekend where most people have it off. Most people, because you know, there are some people that still work on the weekends, but not as much.
And they say, Mike, that if it's 2 days and we're going to have to spend more money in our cities and towns. Well, they're doing it now with the early voting. How many days have there been with the early voting? Granted, it's it's spread out over several days, but I know here in Mansfield we had it the other day for, I think, about the third day. So when you think about it, it's by most cities and towns around the area, 3 or 4 days of having to bring people in. I know some of them are volunteers, obviously, but there is some cost of having extra days of voting. So this craziness, well, we can't have it 2 days. It'll be Saturday or Sunday or whatever. It just affects it. Now, again, I'll bring this up, not that I came on here to discuss politics, but the fact that we do have beautiful weather on Tuesday, almost the entire country, means those that haven't voted yet will have no excuse not to vote in terms of blaming the weather.
Yes. No excuse not to get out there, out and about, and vote, which is the most important thing.
That's it.
Especially in this election this year.
Hey Jim, we also have to turn the clocks back
right,
this weekend. So this is a good time to remind everybody to turn the clocks back, but also change their smoke detectors and make sure all their alarms are working too. So
that's definitely good advice. Of course, I like to say it's the longest weekend of the year. Instead of being a 48-hour weekend, it's a 49-hour weekend.
Hey, I'm liking it.
You have to wait 1 hour longer to go back to work on Monday morning if that's when you do it. But
yeah, and I get some extra sleep tonight, too.
now, extra sleep, and of course, it actually will be a little bit lighter for another couple of weeks in the morning for a while, but then, of course, we've lost it in the late afternoon. Sunset, by the way, tomorrow afternoon will be about 4:32.
Wow. Okay.
Now, yeah. Jim, the daylight savings time idea, that kind of started a long time ago with, I guess you could say, Benjamin Franklin, who first suggested the idea back in 1784. But yeah. I guess that was to help the farmers.
That's how I think it started, giving them perhaps a little more light in the evening. I mean, but it's, some people have said, you know, do we really need to talk about this last few days, time zones and things like that, because people are going to do things wherever there's light or wherever there's dark, they're going to go to sleep. So the fact that, you know, the sunset, if we didn't have daylight savings time here, say, in the summertime, the sun would go down around 25 after 7 in the evening. It peaks out at 25 after 8. Now, as I've always said, more people are affected by are out and about. We're talking about out and about. Hmm. Out and about in the evenings as opposed to early mornings. Right. So I don't see an issue with it as long as people are adjusting their clock. I mean, for years now, it was, I don't want to change, like, I don't even know how to change it or whatever, you know. And they're like, let's just keep it the same all year. Well, you know, when you start to see baseball games, Little League baseball games in June and July or even late May, and it's starting to get dark at about 7 o'clock, you have to start the games earlier. So I think nowadays it's had nothing to do with farming as much as it has to do with outdoor activities. And I've proposed over the last few years that from about late May through about the middle of August, set the clocks ahead another hour. So in a sense, you would set them two hours ahead. And it's like, I don't want to be setting my clocks back and forth every 2 months. Well, come on. I mean, modern technology, you can do it. And if that's the case, we would have a sunset peaking out in late June around here of 25 after 9.
Wow.
Now, you might say, though, well, what does that mean in the morning? Well, in the summertime, there's not a big issue with kids going to school. So, yeah, we would have a sunrise around like we did today, around 7:15, 25 after 7. But most people in the morning are still probably sleeping in, especially if they're off in the summertime. Wouldn't you rather be just get a good night's sleep, get up in the morning, whatever, early, but not real early, and then get to enjoy, you know, 2 months where the sun is going down between 8:25 and 9:25 instead of 7:25 and 8:25, when most people are out and about. Most people don't go to sleep in the summer at 8:30. They stay up later because it's just that time of the year where there's a lot more light and you're more energetic. Anyway, those are my thoughts about that.
No, that's good, Jim. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Because, you know, it's funny. I thought I saw something. I don't know if it was last time we changed the clocks around or this time, recently on the internet about Congress wanting to or pass some sort of a law to change all this, you know, make it a different time zone, or, you know, where we don't have to switch the clocks anymore.
Well, if they want to adjust where the time zones are, that might be a possibility. But the time zones unfortunately stretch out. In other words, I mentioned this, I think, a couple of days ago on I believe the Paul or Dom show, that the sunset, for example, in Indianapolis, which is right on the western edge of Eastern Time, is a little over an hour, or the sunrise, a little over an hour later than us. So their sunset the other day was about 20 after 8 in the morning. And then you have places that are on the eastern part of time zones where everything happens earlier. So, for example, in December, our good friends in Eastport, Maine, and I used to work in Bangor for a while, but Eastport, of course, at least in the United States, is the furthest east you can be. I remember the sun going down around 3:30 in the afternoon because they're on the eastern part of the time zone, but Indianapolis would be about 2 hours later, still in the same time zone. So, in other words, and we're right in the middle, just to the east of the middle. The middle goes right down about through New York City, 75 degrees west. And so we are typically a little bit earlier. And that's another reason why I would love to see in the summertime, because we get gypped. Think about this. In the western part, and I know you're going to get to a break, so I'll shut up in 30 seconds. In the western part of this time zone, in the summertime, Indianapolis, for example, Cleveland is in the western part of the time zone, they do have sunsets that are generally right around 9 to 9:15, and they get to enjoy that later than we do because of where they are located. So if we were to get 2 hours, setting the clocks ahead 2 hours in increments, not all of a sudden go from 0 to 2, instead of 2 hours here. Do it first about an hour, right around when we do it now in the spring, March, late March, and then 2 months later in late May, roughly, set it ahead an extra hour, and then have 2 more months before you have to set it back 1 hour. And again, this issue about, oh, I don't want to change my clocks all the time, it's half the time computers change on their own anyway, right? So you can program them to change if you have a clock on your computer. And if you have one of those analog clocks, then you just get to the back of it and turn the dial. You know, I mean, it's not rocket science. We do enough on phones and everything that we can't take a 30 seconds set a clock ahead or back because we are lazy to do it. So anyway, that's my ramble on that. Great weather for the next several days, including Election Day.
Wow. Now, Jim, there's no hurricane activity going on in the Atlantic,
no,
right? We're pretty much safe.
No, it's winding down. There might be one storm in the middle of the Atlantic, maybe in another week or so. That's typical where we get the no-man-land storms out there late in the season, probably just an issue for shipping interests, and that would be about it. So that is definitely quiet down. Next week, I'll be talking about what is going to be the biggest super moon in 48 years, or actually over that, since 1948. It's the full Beaver Moon, but more important, it's the closest the full moon has ever been since 1948, and that is going to cause some of the highest astronomical tides we've had in a long time. And if, and the key word is if, we were to get a storm pushing whatever the wind direction is, if it's on the south coast, it could be a south wind. If we were to get an east wind during that high, those several cycles of high tides, we could be inundated with coastal flooding if there was a storm in another 10 days or so. Right now, it doesn't appear as if there will, though, so that's just something to monitor.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim.
I'll
thank
end on you, a good Jim. Note. Happy weekend, everyone, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. We look forward to it, and have yourself a great weekend as well, and we'll see you next time, too, on Out and About.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Bye, Richard. Thank you.
That was Jim Corbin, and we're going to take a quick break right now because we're a little bit past schedule here, and when we come back, we'll have more Out and About here on 1320 WARA.
Metamorphosis, The Art of Altered Books, will be exhibited from July 30th to November 6th at the Fuller Craft Museum in Brockton. The exhibit will feature mixed media artists who carve, gouge, fold, collage, and manipulate books to transform the printed pages into a sculptural object. A partial list of exhibiting artists includes Longbin Chen, Andy Hayes, Wendy Wall, and Jacqueline Rush Lee. For more information, call the museum at 508-588-6000.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition. And then?
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out! Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
Even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Are you one of the 30 million Americans who skip breakfast every day? We don't need to remind you that skipping breakfast can have a detrimental effect on your health. The Breakfast Place, located at 187 Pleasant Street, across from the Shell gas station, has been serving their customers meals made to order for over 30 years, using vegetables from local farms and cage-free eggs. Owner Casey Darconti opens the Breakfast Place every day from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. And for those on the go, all meals are available for takeout.
Historian Gary Highlander will present Hail to the Chief on November 17th at 10:30 a.m. at the Norton Public Library. Dr. Highlander will take us back to the Constitutional Convention of 1787, where the Office of the President and the Electoral College were created. As Connecticut Governor Samuel Huntington stated at the time, it was a new event in human history. Gary Highlander is a scholar and professor who has taught at Stonehill College and Framingham State University and lectured for many cultural and educational forums. For more information on the event, call the library at 508-285-0265.
Out and about with Elaine LaRoche here on 1320 WARA. I am not Elaine. My hair's not even blonde.
My hair is gray, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, we're just bald. filling in the gaps here. And Elaine is on assignment. Hey, by the way, gang, I just wanted to tell you, as we got a couple of other out and about items that have been called into us, the Duffy Pool Funeral Home is having the second annual winter coat drive. We can't forget to mention this. So you have an opportunity, because you know what people do this time of the year? They clean out their closets, right? Why not clean out your closet, but also share the warmth? If you got some used coats, you know, they're looking for donations of new and gently used winter coats to be dropped off at the Duffy Pool Funeral Home. And they have a winter coat bin set up there, and they're located over at 20 Peck Street in Attleboro. And you can do this 7 days a week. It started back in October 31st, it'll be going right through December 16th. All donated winter coats will be given out at the St. Joseph's Food Cellar, which that is located at 71 Linden Street in Attleboro, on the week of December 23rd through the 30th to families in need. So join us in assisting those in our community that really truly need a coat this winter, and to help them to stay warm. Another thing I forgot to mention too was in Newport. This week is Newport Fall Restaurant Week, and there's meal deals by the sea. And the dining started yesterday with the Newport Fall Restaurant Week, which runs right through November 13th. Diners can enjoy three-course meals, fixed-price lunches, and really a good deal. Restaurant Week offers a chance to try new places at a fraction of what you may have paid for the regular price. So you want to check that out. That's a good thing to know. We also wanted to tell folks about the Providence, Rhode Island Home Show Electric Vehicle Ride and Drive. That sounds exciting. That's taking place today. You can experience the joy of driving electric cars. Come out to the there'll be BMW there, Chevrolet, Nissan, Porsche, and more. And it's taking place at 1 Sabin Street in Providence. And if you'd like some information, you could call them at 802-238-4760. Actually, you can even email them, LEYNAH at reach-strategies.org. Sounds like a lot of fun there, Rich. Do you like electric cars?
I like electric cars. I don't have one. I have a older car, but yeah, that seems to
how
be.
How about these self-drivable cars?
Now that's an interesting thing that they're developing.
I don't know about that one yet.
I'm kind of leery about that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also want to mention that you were mentioning some out and about items. The Attleboro Arts Museum. Tonight they're having their 25th annual benefit art auction. Doors open at 5 p.m. And tickets cost $35 in advance and $40 at the door. This includes hors d'oeuvres, wine and beer, and art. Over 200 donated works of art and specialty items are up for auction to support the Attleboro Arts Museum. So if you're not doing anything this evening, head on down. Doors open at 5 o'clock. So that's a good local out and about item to pass along.
Wow. That's awesome, Rich.
Yeah, have you ever been to the Attleboro Arts Museum?
No, I have not. And it sounds like something that I would love to go and check out.
Yeah, I have. It's very, really, really nice. They have different types of artwork and pictures and things like that. Different, a lot of creativity in the Arts Museum. You're familiar with the Winterfest that they have every year?
Yeah,
winter in Attleboro. Well, they had, you know, I had a chance to go in there during Winterfest and tour the facility, and it's really nice.
Yeah. Is it a big place?
Yeah, it's a big place, and you can have a lot of fun in there. Just looking at all the different art displays, and they have the Attleboro, you know, even the high school kids get involved as far as displaying their artworks and stuff. So yeah, it's really a good time. So head out to the 25th annual art auction at the Attleboro Arts Museum today at 5 o'clock. Head down there and have yourself a good time.
Wow. I don't know where the time has gone too, Rich. We're coming up to like, what, 2 minutes before the top of the hour here, 8 o'clock. It's November the 6th. It's
November the 5th. And it's
you're right.
My brother Steve's birthday and my sister Sue's birthday. So happy birthday to both Steve and Sue, and my friend Vicky too. Her birthday is today. So happy birthday, Steve, Sue, and Vicky.
Wow, awesome. I stand corrected. Thank you. Now it's November 5th. We just got a few days to go before a very important election. Again, make sure that you get out there and vote. Your vote does count. Your vote matters.
Yep. Vote early and vote often. They do that in Chicago.
No.
No, just vote for the candidate of your choice.
Yes. And really, don't just vote to vote. Vote with, after making a very informed decision, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, your vote counts. So don't just sit there and say, you know what, I don't like what's going on, I don't like who the candidates are, I'm not going to vote. Well, you know what, you're just throwing your vote away.
You have a voice, and there's other candidates other than Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. You have the Green Party candidate, Jill Stein, and then the independent candidate, Gary Johnson. So there's a lot of different variables, and also the local candidates too that are running for state rep and state senate. So there's plenty of choices in this year's election, and of course, the ballot questions too. We never talked about that.
Yeah, we shouldn't.
The marijuana question. I'm going to vote no for that. And
our time has come to an end. But don't forget, gang, to enjoy the rest of the weekend. We got some great programs coming up the rest of this weekend, and of course next week. Don't forget, Dave Kane's coming up at 9 o'clock. Kane and Company. And we have Don Katoya, who does mornings here at 1320, and Paul Healy. He's on from usually 10 to noon here on 1320 WARA Attleboro. Make it a great weekend, and take care, everyone.